Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
When we were worshiping, I felt compelled to pray for us to break through the barriers of complacency into the future in God, where we overcome the obstacles of our flesh. And I was proclaiming that, and as I was proclaiming it, I was seeing like maps, folded up maps in the spirit. And am I too close to that, Kina? I saw maps in the spirit, and they were folded up, and I saw the angels handing them to some people in the room, and I actually ate one. And as when I ate this map, immediately I saw, like on the horizon, like I could see every need, every care, every desire was actually below where I was at looking. And I know this might sound strange for some of you, but I got to go by the Spirit of God. And so as I was worshiping Jesus, there was like a sweet fragrance that actually propelled or like brought forth the glory of God into the earth over the situations and the obstacles. And then as I was, this was all going, Kina, it's driving me nuts, please. Hello? Is it the gain? Okay. Okay. So, what?
Burn through it.
Okay, I'll burn through it.
We're not hearing it like you are.
Okay. We'll try this. We're working on a new mic, and we're just trying to see.
I just remembered it was different with the podium.
Okay. 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 So as I was seeing this in the spirit, I was brought back a day in time. I know this is strange, but I'm just going by the Holy Spirit. And it's a teachable moment, and it's also a moment of acceleration. And I was praying during worship. I was like, Lord, take away or help me break away from being comfortable in God, in you. I don't want to be comfortable in God. I want to be hungry for God all the time. I want my edge to be so dialed in that I'm not complacent. And as I was praying that prayer, and the prayer, it's hard to say the prayer because it was a dialogue going back and forth, but I'm just giving you a part of it. And what I found was, as I was praying that, the Lord reminded me of last night. And last night I had a really rough night in the spirit, and you know, there was a bunch of attack and stuff, and I prayed it through, but I actually saw like the counterfeit of uncomfortableness. And so last night in the spirit there was a lot of attack and stuff against me personally, and it was very uncomfortable. And then in the natural, we don't like to be uncomfortable. We like our heat set at 72. We like our air set at whatever. And we like our clothes to be loose fit, not too tight, so that we are comfortable. And we, even when we're going through hard times, we still want to be comfortable. And the counterfeit of the attack I had last night, that's actually a counterfeit of the glory of God. There's a comfort in God that you can go so deep in Him where He is your comforter. And And you don't care about if your pants are tight or if it's cold or if it's hot, because you're in his comfort. You're in the comforter. And so I was watching this parallel situation, and the Lord was teaching me during worship about, you know, I did come to his arms. I came into his arms last night during a very hard night, and he was my comforter. And as I've been praying throughout the day today, I'm reminded of many people don't know how to be comforted by the Holy Spirit, because one, we've never been taught. Two, we might not know him, you know, and three, he's personal. A lot of times we don't talk about what goes on with our comforter. And tonight I feel like the Lord is wooing us. And what I mean by that is, you know, I had a crazy day, but I came away to spend time in his presence and just rest inside of him this afternoon. And I heard Psalm 25, and I didn't even want to look at it because I was just so in him, and I just was like, okay. And I kind of forgot about it. And then he reminded me as I was walking in tonight, you know, Psalm 25. And I looked it up, and, you know, I really like Psalm 24. you know, I spent a whole long time in Psalm 24, you know, with the ancient doorways, you know, open up those ancient doors which are in us. And so I was like, Lord, can't we just do Psalm 24 tonight? And so all this is going on, and I just glanced through Psalm 25, and then I'm in worship, and he's given me this strategy, and I'm seeing stuff open in the body of Christ, and I'm seeing things come forth because we're high enough in his glory where the stuff in the earth doesn't consume us. And if we're still being consumed by the stuff in the earth, my prayer is make us want you more than the stuff in the natural realm. And if you've never been broken or never been traumatized, and if you've never had God rescue you, or if you've never had an encounter with the wonderful King, then that, how would you know how good he is? And you know, I don't like when people have to go through hard times, or when people go through hard times, but I know when I was going through hard times, he's my comforter. And during those hard times, which were probably the hardest in my life, I thought, now listen. When I was going through really hard times, I thought they were the hardest times of my life, because I didn't know how to lean on the comforter. And I was trying to work it out in the flesh and in the spirit and learning how to commingle until there was just him and I. But now when trials come, I've had some hard hits. But they're not like those beginning ones, because he already is my comforter. I already have trust in him. I already do not lean on my own understanding, because he always shows me the point, the true north, if I can just rest in his peace. And meanwhile, the enemy is like, are you sure? Do you really know him? Are you good enough? Is it ever going to change? Those firing darts are designed to bring us out of the comforter back into the natural realm, to look at the situations and take the counterfeit way of being comfortable or settling. You know, there's one thing I know, and is we have to contend for the faith. We have to contend for our breakthrough. We have to contend every day for his promises. Otherwise, they won't manifest. They're just not sitting there on a shelf, and we walk by and boom, there they are. You know, we have to go after the things of the Spirit, because it's opposite of the things of the natural. And if we can go to a place in God where we're in his Spirit, and we're kingdom citizens, we rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven, we're seated in heavenly places, so we bring forth the substance into the earth. That's the right order. And if you're stuck in a situation or a trial, and it could be pain, it could be, you know, bones out of place, it could be, you know, your foot hurts, it could be whatever. But there is God heals all the time. There's a frequency of healing 24/7 all the time. And if we tap into that, we will get healed. It is impossible not to get healed when you tap into that frequency. How does it work? I don't know. But sometimes it does, and sometimes we keep pressing in until it does. So as I've been praying and seeking the Father, I want my heart so entwined with him that nothing matters. There is no distractions. There is no plan B. It is all him. It's either him and him and him, or it's nothing. Because I've already had the nothing, and I'm not satisfied with the nothing anymore. The nothing, it's like a donut. You know, it satisfies you for the first couple bites, and then you could eat a whole box, and it's still nothing. There's nothing there. But when you taste, when you dine on the King, when you eat the presence and the substance of heaven that's fed to you, you cannot not want more, because he's so good, and everything he has is good. And so as I was pondering Psalm 25, just briefly, you know, I was getting nailed with some revelation, and, you know, I'm just going to read some really cool things that, and you're right, I think I just stay here, because it bounces off of this thing. I can hear it when I go too close. This is my Leaning Tower. You know, this, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, and this is Psalm 25. Don't fail me, God. King David's poetic praise to God. Always I will lift up my soul into your presence, Yahweh. Be there for me, my God, for I keep trusting in you. Don't allow my foes to gloat over me or the shame of defeat to overtake me. Could anyone be disgraced when he has entwined his heart with yours? But my foes will be all defeated and ashamed when they harm the innocent. Direct me, Yahweh, throughout my journey, so I can experience your plans for my life. Reveal the life paths that are pleasing to you. Escort me into your truth. Take me by the hand and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours all day long. I like this next verse too. Forgive my failures as a young man and overlook the sins of my immaturity. Give me grace, Yahweh. Always look at me through your eyes of love, your forgiving eyes of mercy and compassion. When you think of me, see me as one you love and care for. How good you are to me. When people turn to you, Yahweh, they discover how easy you are to please, so faithful and true. Joyfully, you teach them the proper path, even when they go astray. Keep showing the humble your path and lead them into the best decision. Bring revelation light that trains them in the truth. Loving are all the ways of Yahweh, loving and faithful for those who keep his covenant. For the honor of your name, Yahweh, never count my many sins and forgive them all. Lift their burden off my life. Who are they that live in the holy fear of Yahweh? You will show them the right path to take. Then prosperity and favor will be their portion, and their descendants will inherit the earth. There's a private place reserved for the devoted lovers of Yahweh, where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. I could go on, but I got to stop there. So when the enemy is gloating because he thinks he pulled one over on you, when the enemy is taunting you because it seems like your breakthrough isn't here yet, or maybe you failed again if you're measuring yourself, when the enemy is doing that, remember this. You are God's beloved. You're actually God's property, and he has already paid for everything that you need and anything that you will ever need. But we have to place a draw on him for the need to be released. And so I know there's people in here who are in transition and going through things in life that seem difficult and possibly impossible, but I'm going to tell you about the King of Kings who overcame the impossible. Amen. I'm going to tell you about how when the enemy was gloating and thinking that he had finally won, I'm going to tell you about the guy that came out of the grave and shocked the whole world. Take a minute and think of that. Get that picture in your head right now. Instead of the badgering liar, and the liar who is trying to consume you with guilt. You know, one thing I know is sin is sin. And every day there is sin. But I know a God who overcame sin. And I'm clinging to his presence and his promises instead of my old wretched self. And I don't care. I mean, I do care about living unto him. But I'm not, if I blow it one day, or if I swear one minute, or if I, you know, do something stupid, I am quick to repent and quick to get back under the covering of the umbrella of God. Yeah. Because I don't like one day being out of God's presence, one second. I know what it's like when the enemy tries to grip and pull you and snare you and take you away and tear you apart and shred you into pieces. I've been there. I've been there too many times, but I know the day, and it's the, I know the day like it's today, because it is today. I know the day that God rescued me out of that pit of despair. And instead of the enemy clawing me, God came in and took my hand. He extended his hand to mine and pulled me out of that miry clay, pulled me out of that slough of junk I was living in. And he, because I caught his gaze, it gave me life in the spirit. For, oh my gosh, he's real and it's true and his promises are yes and amen. And why am I even arguing with the devil over this stuff? It's like a holy slap, 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 because you know what? The enemy is a liar. We know that. But how easy do some of us fall into his little fiery darts? And I'm telling you, I saw tonight when I was worshiping and praying for us, I saw this propulsion in the spirit where we were pushed into the future, and we overcame the obstacles and barriers of our flesh, and we got the map of heaven. And it was almost like, I look at it as like, you know, we tricked the enemy. He didn't even see it coming. And so we tricked we got our flesh tricked too, because there was no time for us to put a barrier up and say, no, God, I don't know if this is you. See, I saw it in the spirit, and what I saw is real. And I'm telling you, you received a map tonight. And now it's up to us to go into the secret place and have the Lord explain the map. You know, because what I saw before that, I actually saw structures in heaven. I was watching these structures going up, and some were stalled out. Some, and they're beautiful structures, and they're blueprints. I saw the blueprints, and then I saw structures, and then I saw some stalling. And I was asking the Lord, what is that? And then I saw the maps. He had me pray, you know, propel, and I saw us go into the future, which overcame the obstacles of our flesh. Only God could do that, and I think that's so cool. And so take the map by faith, and then spend time. Don't analyze it. Don't analyze it. Spend time and say, come to him as a kid. Okay, come to him like this. You ever been offered a good ice cream cone? You got to go get the cone. You know, come to the cone, so to speak. You're not thinking, oh no, it's stranger danger. You're like, no, ice cream. Come to the Father like that, like ice cream. You know, and come innocently and spend time with him and just say, I just want to know about the map. Tell me about the map. What about the map? And because you can't figure it out without him. Some people in here will be like, okay, a map was delivered tonight and I'm going to dissect the map. I'm going to no, you're not. Take the ice cream way. Take the path to the ice cream. Go the soft way, friends. Go in and sit with the Father and say, tell me about the map. And I'm telling you, it will open and it'll show you things that are in the future, but really they're here now, because we have destiny over our future right now. And some things, the delays that I see with some of those structures will unwrap, and there will be some strengthening and some endurance in the spirit, some shabba-ba-ba-ba-ba, praying in tongues, getting it done in the spirit to open up the ancient doorways, to open up the ancient doorways that are inside of us. We're the ones that closed them because we didn't know. And God's like, I'm ready. I'm ready. Take my map and let's go on a journey together. And so if you're still stuck or feeling like, I don't know, man, this is too hard because, you know, I got bills to pay. I got. I'm going to tell you, go after God. Seek the kingdom of God first. Because he's got a plan for every situation in your life. Do you need healing in your body? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go to the Father. Go to the ice cream man. Go to him. Ooh, religious spirits hate that. Go to him. can feel that. I feel that in the atmosphere. I don't know if it's in here, but I feel it in the atmosphere. That's so funny. Go to him because he's got a presence of love that is kind of like it melts all over you like ice cream when, you know, when you forget to take a lick, you know, it just like melts all over. And pretty soon that liquid love, it does something to us. It wrecks us, it wrecks us in the natural, but it glorifies the King because he's like, oh, you're here for me. And then he pours out a substance, and it's a different substance for a different time and day and all the time. It's never the same because he's not the same. But the substance comes, and it's exactly what we need. It's like the perfect key to unlock the blessings of God. And oftentimes we chase after them through, you know, I'm going to study this scripture. I'm going after this teaching series. And let's just go after him. Let's go after him because I'm not saying don't study, but I'm telling you there is a shortcut to a lot of stuff if we can go into the secret place. Now, how do we get into the secret place? Well, first of all, we have to still ourselves. We have to calm ourselves down. And I remember when I was learning this years ago, you know, Holly used to talk about strolling. And I was a worker. And I didn't even think I thought strolling was stupid. Let's just walk fast and get it done and do it again. When I started to understand what she was saying about strolling is it does actually slow our minds down in the natural. And as you stroll, like, you know, I did it real slow because I'd ask the Lord a question. And then instead of me walking fast trying to figure it out, I would just listen to what he was saying. And then it would cause me to slow down my gait, so to speak, and to the point where I was almost not even walking. And I'm sure I looked weird to people, but I don't care. I want to know what the Lord's saying. And if my mind's racing too fast, I want to learn how to dial it back. And that was one way that it worked for me, was I would take these little walks, you know, little walks, and I'd ask them questions. I'd spend time with them. And I would come expecting. I didn't just, you know, throw a lunch in and hope I'll eat someday. You know, I planned this. I was like, okay, I'm meeting with you. We're going to meet. And so when you are trying to enter the secret place, first you have to, you know, to me, you got to be born again. And I spirit-filled helps. I'm just telling you, praying in tongues is a pathway into the spiritual realm. And sometimes I would just pray in tongues on these walks, and sometimes I would ask questions, and sometimes I'd do both. But one of the keys is praying in tongues because it's a language that is not understood by the enemy, I don't think, and sometimes we don't understand it, so we can't process what we're praying or speaking, and then stuff is just happening in the spirit. And it's actually a picture of what really is going on in the spirit, because a lot of times there's so much stuff going on in the spirit, we don't know what's going on because we're not tuned in. But if you can get so tuned in where you hear when an angel walks in the room, you feel the presence of a being, kind of like a wind or something. And it's not that we chase that. We're chasing the King of Kings. We're going after our Father who art in heaven, the one, the only, the true living God. And so for doers, this is hard because we want to do for God, or we want to, we just want to finish the task. And I had to get broke through so many layers of deliverance, of getting it done for God, where it really became, I just want to sit with God. And when you sit with God, you know, just spend time worshiping him, he'll tell you things. You'll just know things that nobody else knows. And you don't share them because, you know, it's like something you share with your spouse. You don't share it with the world unless he tells you to. And so I'm trying to encourage us to spend time this, you know what, just do it for a week. Start with a week. Go after this map in the spirit. I'm challenging everybody to go after this map in the spirit and take notes. Take notes because you're on a journey in God. And I know I'm talking to pretty mature people here. So, but I know there's some people that are going to listen to this later on the website. So practice strolling. That means walk really slow. Ask the questions that are on your heart. But expect God to speak. Sometimes I just say, what do you want to say? What are you talking about? What's going on in your world today? And then I listen. And sometimes I know, you know, for me, I always want to worship him. I always want to give him. I love heaping praise on him. I love, I just adore him. And I love when I do that because it's like ever increasing. You can't out God, you know. And so you'll be pouring into him and he'll be pouring on you. And pretty soon it's a love mushy mess. And it's a glorious one. And then, you know, you may remember what happens in that spirit moment or you may not. But it's a mark in the spirit. It's a mark in the map in God. And so I just want to encourage everybody tonight to does anybody have any questions? Anybody got any? Anybody say, what's going on in here? What is this? Okay, you all got it? Okay. Has this been 2 seconds or? Not very long? Okay. Who said that? I'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Pal, you got anything? Hold on. I got a mic down.
So I found this interesting because God's been talking to me a lot lately. I've never said this to you, but about breaking through the barriers to get to the higher plane. And I actually drew a picture of it today because I was thinking I was going to talk about it on Saturday. But one of the things that I was thinking about lately was I was watching a man preach, and he talked about how when Moses came before the Lord, when he went up the mountain, the other people, you know, it says Moses drew near, but the people drew back. And Moses went in and stayed for 40 days. And, you know, he did not eat. But the man made a statement that hit me in the spirit. And the statement was, because of Moses' persistence, he got the blueprint. That's where he got the blueprint. And God has talked to me a lot over the years about blueprints and structures in heaven. So I thought this was really interesting that we went there, because what God, I actually drew a picture today of like the circle of the earth, the barriers that we might have to work through, which often is our flesh or our strongholds, can be the enemy's barriers. But if we're willing to press through, we can walk in places that are high above. Now, legally, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ, far above all principalities and powers. But a lot of us don't have the experience of actually going there and doing that. But that's a real thing. Now, legally, that's where we're supposed to be, and that's how our perspective is supposed to be. But what, you know, years ago, as I was pressing into God, I had a friend that said, why, you know, they went through a season, as you know, of really hard stuff, a despair of life. And a friend of mine said, why? I've never seen anybody have to go through so much. Why do you have to go through so much? And that was kind of an interesting question. I knew it had something to do with something God wanted to do in the earth. That's all I knew. And one day I was praying, and God showed me this picture of a, it almost looked like a tarp that I had to break through. Now, I did not break through it then, but it was like something my life was supposed to do, to tear something open. Now, that might be strange, right? But you're a person of the Spirit. And God is trying to cause us to grow up in all things into him, right? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, that isn't done casually. And it doesn't just happen. It happens for people who, like Moses, are persistent enough to go in and stay in. And it does cost something. But I feel like God is calling us, like, is it worth it? For me, yes, it is worth it. It is worth a fast. It is worth prayer. It is worth not doing something I wanted to do in order to get that blueprint, because that blueprint is the building, just like Moses built the tabernacle, just like David gave the blueprint basically to Solomon. Solomon built the temple, and it was always said, build according to the pattern I showed you on the mountain. If there's not a mountain experience, there's not a blueprint. And if there's not draw near, Moses drew near, the people drew back. If we don't make up our mind, I'm going up that mountain. Mountain climbing, John, tell us, is mountain climbing easy? No, it is not. You have to really want to go. And I'll tell you, when you think you can't go one more step, you just keep going one more step, and finally you'll get a second wind. But you keep going, because the treasure on the mountain is worth what it costs. But what Moses got was the blueprint from heaven. It was not an earthly thing. And from it, he brought this thing and built a structure in the earth that housed the glory. That's the point. And so we can't do that as earthly beings. And by the way, we're not earthly beings. We're heavenly beings who happen to be in this earthly body, but we get to pick which realm we live in. But I never want to make that sound like it's easy. It's not. It's a journey. It takes not a decision. I remember when I made the decision, but you know what? I have to make that decision every day, sometimes every hour, that's still the goal. Otherwise, it would be so easy to just party hardy. It'd be so easy to live a relaxed life and just go the way everybody goes and, you know, go with the flow. But for me, that's not enough. That's not enough. And once you catch a vision of your structure, right, I'm going to ask you this, what is your structure in the spirit? Because everyone's is different. We are all building a building in the spirit. You build it through prayer, through faith, through devotion, through worship. It's a life of relationship with him. But a lot of people don't really know what they're building. They're like tacking two sticks together, you know, because they're doing it in the flesh. Not condemning anybody. Some people don't know this. I'm just saying that for me, it's worth it to do whatever it takes to draw near. And if that means fast, okay. If that means do without, okay. If that means going up the mountain when I'd really rather lay in the hammock, okay. And so all I'm saying is I believe God that these maps are much more than just a nice idea. It's I believe God wants to hand you your blueprint for who you are in the earth, why you're here, what you're building for him. And if you can, you know, you don't just get the map. Now you build according to the pattern you see on the mountain, you know, through prayer and faith and devotion and worship. And as you do that, you start to build something that houses him, and it's not an earthly structure. It is in the earth. But you can tell the difference. If you ever been to a place where they use spiritual words, but you go in and it's really just another work of the flesh. We bless them, we love them, not judging. But then you go somewhere and there's a work of the Spirit. Can you not tell that when the presence of God is in a place? I'm just saying, I went to a place where they called the conference Open Heaven, and I love them and bless them, but there wasn't, you know, those were nice words. But those words have become a marketing ploy. Oh boy, I can't believe I said that out loud. To get people to come to a deal. And so all I'm saying is, are we not hungry for something more? And I believe God is just offering us something more and asking us to come up that mountain.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.